Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Whether y'all know it or not, the Lord's been here today. And He's here every Sunday when we gather. You come before the Lord. Don't ever forget it. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Come to church praising and thanking the Lord. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. And His mercy is everlasting. And His truth, He'll save sinners. Endureth to all generations. Praise the Lord. And may we bow our hearts before the Lord. Loving God, our Father, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done. On this old sin-cursed earth, and help us to be faithful as we look for Your coming. Bless this body that is gathered together. Lord, You know the need of every heart and every life. Lord, we're so helpless. We're all such a needy people. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for Christ who died upon the cross so that we might live forever. Oh, what an awesome thought to live forever with no problems and no troubles, no heartaches, only blessings forever from Your loving hand. Oh, what a God. What a God. And You are the true God. The living God, eternal God. We worship You in the holy and righteous name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. In 1621, the pilgrim colonists and Wampanoag Indians, what a word, shared an autumn harvest feast that is acknowledged today as one of the first Thanksgiving celebrations in the colonies. For more than two centuries, days of Thanksgiving were celebrated by individual colonies and states. It wasn't until 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, that President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national Thanksgiving Day to be held each Thursday. And so we, this coming week, will be giving thanks on a special day that our country recognizes. When it was first instituted, it was given to give thanks to God, but it seems like it's drifted a long way from that today, doesn't it? It's the time of the year, though, when we're reminded again of the many blessings God has given unto us. 2 Samuel 22:50, therefore will I give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among all the heathen, and I will sing praise unto Thy name. 1 Chronicles 16:8, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Tell others what the Lord has done for you. 1 Chronicles 16:34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Amen. What a great verse. Do you ever thank the Lord for what you don't have? You don't have to pick cotton today or dig ditches with a shovel. I've done both of those. You don't have to wash your clothes with lye soap and a scrub board. You can thank the Lord for that. I've seen my mama's hands red in the cold with a scrub board. And her oldest boy was out drawing water for her, and he weren't big as the bucket. You don't have to ride a mule and wagon to town either. You don't have to cook on a wood stove in the summertime, thank the Lord. Some of you young ladies don't know what it is to be hot. If you're saved, you're no longer condemned by sin, thank the Lord. And you don't have to go to hell today, amen? A lot of people will. More people go to hell today than goes to heaven. And they can't ever get out. With all the gospel that will be preached today, many will go to hell. No matter who you are, you have many, many things to be thankful for. You really do. I sense today there's some hurting in the congregation. Of course, that's always true. God's people hurt. I'm glad you can call on God, though. They're having an auction now to get rid of Elizabeth Taylor's jewelry. It's estimated she has $30 million of jewelry. She had all this high-priced jewelry she was proud of, and now she's left it all behind. Many of her lovers had given it to her over the years. But she will have to give an account now to God for how selfishly she used her wealth, which was somewhere nearly $500 million, and how little, if any, she ever gave to the Lord. Are we selfish with what we have? Do we share to give to missionaries? Today, Thanksgiving means days off from work for many. That's all right. A big, nice dinner with family, friends, and co-workers, and I love to see my girls come in. Yeah, and Johnny, too. And Michael. Yes, I did that deliberately, Johnny. Thanksgiving should be a time to stop and as believers give thanks to God. Evaluate where you've come from in life. How God has kept you, blessed you. I've always had a special feeling at Thanksgiving because it reminded me of God's blessings and His goodness to me. There's just something spirit about Thanksgiving I've always enjoyed. As I've grown in the Lord, I've come to realize I don't deserve God's blessings. Studying God's Word has made me more aware of what a sinful creature I really am. I don't want to be, but I am. I often wonder, why would God bless me? You know, the attitude in the world today is, God ought to bless me. That's the attitude. I deserve to be blessed. Hey, you better get in that old book. As people, we are so selfish, greedy, proud, judgmental, and on and on the list could go as to what this old fallen nature has made us. Thank God one day we'll be shed that old fallen nature. And God still loves us and blesses us, even though we're frail, sinful, redeemed creatures. Praise God. We got something to be thankful for. Do you remember the prodigal son in the Bible? Who took all his inheritance and went into a far country and wasted his inheritance on wild living. Lots of people are there today, wasting their life in the far country, down paths of sin, away from their real home. One day the prodigal got tired of that kind of life, and when his money ran out, that's when he realized he'd had enough. There ain't no telling how long he'd have stayed if he'd had a flowing bank account. So he decided to go home, and he said, I'll just be a servant to my father because I've already got my inheritance and spent that. His father saw him and ran to meet him coming down that long, dusty road. What a happy time that was. His son had been, that was lost, had been found. But you know, the real prodigal was not that son. It was the other son. I want to read these verses. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, his younger son packed all his belongings, moved into a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The younger man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hard servants have food enough to spare, and here I am starving. I'm hungry. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. And I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hard servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quickly, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but he is found. So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. And when he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, what's going on? Your brother's back. He was told, and your father has killed a fatted calf. And we're celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry. Wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I have slaved for you and have never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never even gave one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate. by killing the fatted calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you've always stayed by me and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found. You know what concerns me today? It's the church at large's attitude about winning people to the Lord. There seems to be so much unconcerning getting out the true gospel. We're so busy with our life until other people don't matter much anymore. Look around you. There's people that need you. Just a word of encouragement would go a long ways for lots of folks. Did you see how happy that father was when his son came home? That's a picture of how it is in heaven when a sinner is saved from their sin. Folks, I love to be on the side just watching when somebody gets saved. They have a Baptist fit up there. The Bible says, Luke 15:10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. They have a time when somebody gets saved in heaven. They have a party. Boy, isn't that something? You know what that prodigal needed? Both of them needed. Get their heart right with God. Get your heart right. Is your heart right today? Get your heart right with God and you'll be thankful for what you have. Get your heart right with God and you'll be kind-hearted. Get your heart right with God and you'll have the right kind of attitude. Get your heart right with God and you'll be full of compassion. Like that father that was so glad to see his son come back. If people would get their heart right with God, this would be a better world. We're warned in the Bible, Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart right with God, and everything will work out all right. Let me talk about something that we were taught. That was manners. And y'all know what manners is? I didn't say bananas. I said manners. We were taught manners in our home growing up. What's wrong with having manners? Many don't have them today. We were raised to say, thank you. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. We were also warned not to use profanity or ugly words. To this day, I never have. We were told to respect our elders. Now, I'm the elder. We were also taught to eat all the food on your plate. You didn't have to encourage my brother back there. We were taught by example and word, go to church. My mom and daddy never sent us to church. They took us. We walked to church. We rode the mule in the wagon to church. We pushed that 34 Chevrolet to church. We went to church. We went to church in the summertime and in the wintertime. I never heard my mom and daddy make excuses why they couldn't go to church. I've never missed church with an upset stomach. And that's a common thing today. My stomach was upset. I couldn't go to church. Good God, we got bathrooms? We were given money as children. Of course, it was brown. To put into offering in our little class. We were taught to give. Now, go down to the schoolhouse. Any one of them. Go down to the schoolhouse and see what those kids have been taught at home today. They ain't been taught nothing. They ain't even getting nothing at home. What's the problem? The problem is a human heart, folks. Our hearts are flawed by sin, all of us. We're all in the same boat. God saw the... Listen to this. This is the Word of God. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You see, God sees your thoughts. We're going to give an account for our thoughts. The Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said there's no God. Proverbs 20:9, who can say I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? No one can go before God and say, I live good enough to go to heaven. They don't meet God's standard. Matthew 15:19, Jesus said this, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. But some folks today don't seem to care if they should go to hell. I've had people say that. Folks, before you can get to hell, when you see you going there, you'd have wished you'd have repented. Even before you get in it. For sure, every person who dies without Christ as their Savior is going immediately, right then. There's no delay. With the last breath, you drop in. Just like with the last breath for the saint, they're in heaven. Just that fast. When a person dies and goes into eternity, you're still the same person. You're not something else. You're not going to be a little angel. You're going to still be you. Wherever you're at, you're going to still be you. But where you're at then will be more real than where you're at today. It'll be like I went the other day and had cataract surgery on this right eye. Now that they've took that cataract off, man, it's so clear. I even see you. It's so clear. This one over here, I hadn't had it took off, and it's a little cloudy. When you leave this world, you'll be, when you get there like this, eyes clear. It'll be clear there. It'll be more here. It's like this cloudy eye. Life's going to get more real wherever you go. Heaven or hell. It's going to be more real. People don't become something they're not. They have just relocated to where they're going to be living forever. Today we're determining where we're going to live forever by what we've done with Jesus Christ. What have you done with Jesus? Is he your Savior? No. I met a girl the other day I'd worked with for many years, but I hadn't seen her in 5 or 6 years. I asked, she said, I'm going to church. I'm singing in the choir. I said, good. Have you been saved yet? No. You ain't been saved? No. You had never asked Jesus to be your Savior? 42 years old. Weren't doing a good thing in the choir. And they don't have one in hell. Oh, listen, folks. Today we're determining where we're going to live forever. But what we've done with Jesus Christ. The drugs, the liquor, the shootings, the fightings, the high-speed driving, careless living is daily in our own community, our community, sending many to hell to live an endless torment. You may get a call today that so-and-so died, and you knew so-and-so had never been saved. Guess where they went? I'm just telling you the truth. I'm trying to challenge you. Get out the gospel. Live the gospel. Share the gospel. We're the source of eternal life for people. Some mom and dad's son or daughter you know may be in hell tonight. What's our attitude? Everywhere you look, there's a place called a church. And many of them have no mission program. They want numbers and they want money, but they have no mission program. I walk with a lady. She tells me, their church, there's no mission program. That's just one. And that's true in Baptist churches as well. The people within these churches are just entertaining themselves. Many of these churches have little or no true gospel even being taught them. Many people love to go to these places. Why? Most are trying to please the crowd and make them feel good. And don't dare offend anybody. They might not come back. Look at me. Look at me. I'm going to preach about sin and judgment and hell as long as I have breath. That's the only way I can show you I love you. If I don't do that, I don't love you. If I don't warn you, if I was to go by your house tonight and it was on fire and I didn't stop, and tell you to wake up and get out of there, I'd be a sorry dude. I'm telling you something more real than your house down the road burning. I'm talking about you falling into a place where you'll burn forever. As long as God called me to preach, I'm going to preach. He told me to warn. It's not because I would like to do it. I'm charged to do it. He said, preach the word. Listen to me. I don't want nobody to go to hell. I met a man the other day. I went to his house where I go every year to get my pecans. I've been doing it 6-7 years or more. I went there when the husband was there. He died. So I've been going back. I pulled up in the yard. My truck has on the front of it, Christ for You. When I got out of that truck, I walked up to the door, and some gentleman come to the door, opened the door, and I said, is Miss So-and-so here? No. She's gone to town. Okay. I said, I'm the preacher. She always sells me pecans every year. Oh, I got some pecans over there. They're $1.50. I said, I've been buying from her every year, and so I'll come back later. So I left. I thought, didn't know anything was wrong. So I come back 5 to 6 days later. She's home, sitting on the front porch. I pull in. I walk up to the door, and this gentleman comes out again. He walks up to me without anything. I don't like you. I can't stand you. I want you out of my yard. He said, when you pulled that truck up the other day, I felt a bad spirit come over me. He was a bad dude. Well, his mother sat there. I don't know what was her problem, but she didn't say a word. What had happened, this son had to move in with her. I think he lost everything. And he probably took over his old mama's business. I think that's what happened. Listen, folks. He don't know how bad off he is. I offered him a tract. No, I don't want no tract. I just feel a bad spirit with you around here. I'm glad my spirit didn't match his. Amen? Listen, folks. Listen. I don't want him to go to hell neither. A bottle of poison has a warning label on it. You know why? It's dangerous. This book has a warning in it. There's a hell to avoid and a heaven to gain. The gospel of Jesus Christ is to warn Peter of the dangers of sin and to encourage people to warn their families and their friends and others of the danger of dying without Christ and going to a devil's hell. Hell was made for the devil. And people, real people, is going to be with the devil in hell forever. The only way to get your heart right is repent of your sin. We've all sinned, the Bible says. I've already repented. In fact, I repent every day. I'm sure y'all don't have to, but I do. Repent of your sins. Trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you'll be born again. Then apply yourself daily to follow the Lord with a committed life. Realize the devil is going to tempt you every step of the way. You Christian folks here, you know there's a devil. He attacks you. He makes it hard. Hey, we're to resist the devil. Draw nigh to God. Plead the blood of the Savior. Listen. Thank God. Thank God you're saved. Saved, saved by grace. If you're saved, don't forget those who are not. Just because you're saved don't mean you should forget somebody else. You're to carry the torch of the gospel to someone else. Listen. Pray, witness, support mission to share the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves those people that's lost just as much as He loves you. This is what the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be doing, be concerned for other people. Jesus Christ was so concerned for you, He died a cruel death to keep you out of hell. That's what Calvary's all about. Can't you just see it now? Here He is stripped, beaten, made to carry His own cross up a hill to Calvary and then be nailed to it. And He volunteered for it every bit of it. Because you're that loved. You're that loved. And your sin condemned you that much. And me too. But He died so you could live forever. And it's your choice. Christ or hell. Christ or hell. That we stand together. Salvation is free. You don't have to pay a dime for it. You don't have to do anything to get it. Except ask the Lord to forgive you and ask Jesus to be your Savior. You know why it's that simple? Because most folks can't even do that simple thing. And God don't want anybody to miss out. He's done everything that's needed. It's up to you now. What will you do with the Lord? What will you do to the one that loves you that much? If some of you here today saw your mama or your daddy suffering like that, you'd do anything to get to them, to help them. I want to tell you, the Son of God did it. You ought to be running to the altar. Repenting, trusting the Savior. Father, as we wait before You today, We praise you. We worship you. We love you. And now we want to invite this congregation, that as many as it will join us at this altar to give thanks and praise on this Thanksgiving season. If you would like to come today and bow at the altar to thank God, praise God, pray for somebody that needs the Savior. Oh, and listen, make it a daily practice. Make it a daily practice. And when you go out to this coming week to where you work at, or where you live at, or where you be at, you represent Christ, you Christians. You represent Christ in a Christ-like manner. Realize who you are. You're different. You're a child of God if you're saved. And we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior that loves us. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, folks, I believe it's getting close to the Lord coming back now. We better be trying to get all of our friends and families in before it's too late. Lord, look upon us with your mercy. Thank you for the grace of God. Thank you for these that are willing to step out, come to the altar today. We praise you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.